Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Mark with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 24, ending in verse 31, where we see that Jesus never seeks to hide himself from your pain. No matter what you're going through, God cares and is looking to prove himself faithful to you in and through your life. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Mark chapter 7, verse 24.
Well, good evening, church. If you have a Bible, would you turn it open first to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15? We are in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7 tonight. But before we hop over to our text and our journey through God's Word, I want to read this parallel account in Matthew's Gospel to get the details that are missing in Mark's gospel. When we get to Mark, we'll pick up in verse 24, and we'll only work our way down to verse 31. But to begin with here, to start our study, I want to start us in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Again, if you don't have a Bible, you could use our CC Westside app. There are scriptures there for you to follow along. And then when we hop over to Mark's gospel, those verses will also be on the screen next to me here so that you can hear and read God's word at the same time. Matthew says in chapter 15, verse 21, "Then Jesus went thence, and he departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan," that's a detail that we don't get in Mark's gospel, that she was a Canaanite, "she came out of the coast, and she cried unto him, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Another detail that Mark spares us. She says in the middle of verse 22, her plea, her cry is, "My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." And then another thing we're told here that's sort of puzzling at the onset, verse 23, "He answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us." They had it twisted. She wasn't after them. She was after him. "But he answered and he said to them," verse 24, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said," verse 27, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." That there is called indomitable persistence. "Then Jesus answered and said to her," in verse 28, "O woman, great is your faith, be it unto thee even as thou will." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That's Matthew's account. Now hop over, if you would, to Mark chapter 7, our text for tonight. I'll probably bounce back and forth here with some of my thoughts and some of the things that I share. I just wanted you to hear those things and see them for yourself so that you can know what I'm referencing to as we journey through, in case it's out in front of you for the duration of Mark 7. Now, it tells us this in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 24, "And from thence Jesus arose, and he went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered into a house, and he would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Jesus, and came and fell at his feet." So the narrative's a little different. "The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her. But Jesus said unto her in verse 27, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her in verse 29, for this saying, go your way. The devil is gone. That's perfect tense. The devil is gone and is never, ever coming back to her. That's the language there. The devil is gone out of your daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone, just like Jesus already said, and her daughter laid, the idea is peaceably, upon the bed. So, Lord, I echo the prayer of Daniel. I pray that your spirit would blow through this outdoor sanctuary, Lord, like a mighty rushing wind, that you'd hold our thoughts captive unto obedience to you, Jesus, by the power of your spirit, that you take the words of your scripture and cause them to rise from the pages and to pierce the depths of the hearts, Lord, of every hearer, of every listener. Lord, show us more of you in this text before us tonight. Draw us close to you, God. Meet us, whatever it is that we have individually going on. We pray tonight that by the power of your word coupled with your spirit, that not one of us would leave here unchanged or without hearing your voice. So, Lord, speak to us now, we ask. Let there be a stillness in this place. And it's in Jesus' name all of God's people said, amen. This is the third time that Jesus does this in Scripture, at least that's recorded for us, where he goes into Gentile territory. It's the only time that he actually leaves Israel proper. But what we've seen in our study so far is we've seen Jesus go to Gadara, if you remember, and he's faced there with the demoniac, and he delivers the man from Legion, the multitude of demons in that place. Then we saw a few weeks back, Jesus say to his guys, we got to go to the other side. It's necessary that we go down to Bethsaida, he says, that you come apart, remember, so that you don't fall apart. And then they were greeted by the multitudes of people, 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. And it's there that that great miracle of the feeding of the loaves and fish take place. And then we have this here. Jesus goes to Tyre, the Sidon, modern day Lebanon. He makes his way up north to this region. And it's most likely these three reasons that he does so. Number one, the hostility that has taken place with his own people, his kinsmen. Remember, the Pharisees, the scribes, the doctors of the law, they had made their way from Jerusalem to the Galilee region to try to trap Jesus and his followers and to find fault with him. The animosity that they have toward him has grown immensely, and they're after him to oust him, to remove him from the scene because of jealousy. So it could be that that is one of the reasons that he makes this great travel, that he takes this trip with his guys into this region of Lebanon. Secondly, it could be that he's seeking to take time with them alone. The 12, those 11 out of the 12 that he would entrust the keys to the kingdom to before he would be crucified and, of course, eventually ascend back to glory. But then thirdly, and most importantly for tonight, it would be for this woman that he crosses these borders and goes to this Gentile region. I love what it says in verse 24. And from thence he arose and he went to the borders, it says, of Tyre and Sidon, a place where there would be great prejudice for in the heart of the Jews back then. Jesus goes and he crosses those borders to meet with this woman. He's done that with every single one of us here tonight. He's crossed borders. He's gone great lengths to meet with us, to encounter us, to stoop down and to look us in our eyes and to reach us. He's constantly the pursuer. He's constantly the seeker. He's constantly the one that is after our hearts. And we see that illustrated in this story with this woman tonight. He goes across these borders. He goes to this place. And it says in verse 24, kind of humorously, it says he goes there with this desire, with this intent that no man would know it. And then it tells us here, but he could not be hid. I love that verse. He could not be hid. He goes to this place desiring, as the language says here, that no man would know. But the thing about Jesus, as we see in the Gospels, is if he doesn't want to be found, if he doesn't want to be trapped, if he doesn't want to be caught because his time is not yet, he knows how to make his way through a crowd. Remember when they tried to throw him off the cliff in Nazareth? I mean, he knows how to sort of vanish. He knows how to sort of just disappear, be out of sight. So when he doesn't really want to be found or grabbed a hold of because motives are ill, he knows how to remove himself from the situation or the scene. The beauty of this story here, and for any other hurting heart here tonight, this is what will minister to you right at the start here, is that Jesus never seeks to hide himself from human pain. He never seeks to hide himself from human pain, from human hurt, from whatever trial that we could be going through individually. He knows that this woman is here. It's not a happen chance. It's not a coincidence that he travels all of this way, 50 miles at least north into this Gentile region, Lebanon today. He goes to this place knowing that he was going to have this encounter, much like in John chapter 4 when he meets with the woman at the well. This is a divine setup. God is looking to encounter this woman knowing that she is desperate. Knowing that these Phoenician gods predominantly were Baal and Ashtaroth, this sexual god, this god of immorality, this god of sex and beauty and adultery, and all these other things that would have kept this lady from having what she would need in this instance. He knows that she's desperate. He knows that she's in dire need, and he crosses borders just to have an encounter with her. The writer here tells us that he goes with his guys to an Airbnb. He goes to some house there in Lebanon, thinking that they're going just to get away, to get a breather, to get a break. But he knows that this woman is going to make her way to him because all the lowercase g gods, which is every other god but the God, Yahweh, right, would halt short an hour of trial, an hour of tribulation. Write it down. Jesus never hides himself from hurting humans. If you are here tonight and you are hurting, maybe your neighbor next to you is going to get lost and distracted watching the kids, watching the fire, you know, on the sticks, looking at stars. They're not really going to be touched, perhaps, because they're not feeling the pain that you are. But I can say this, if you're here tonight and you are desperate for a touch from the Master's hand, he has come here. He's crossed borders. He's made his way to meet with you, to touch you, to speak to you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, like he did with this Syria is what that speaks of, Phoenician woman. She comes and she demonstrates this indomitable faith, this desire to meet with the Lord, this certain woman, the scripture calls her. She had this young daughter, we're told, in verse 25. The word young is diminutive. It's sort of a broad word because it could take you from a little girl all the way to a marriage age, but a marriage age in the times of Christ was around the age of 15. So even if she were 15, that's still super young. Chances are she's somewhere around 7, 8, maybe 9 years old. She's young, she's little, and when your child is sick, when your child is tormented, when your child is hurting, no matter what language you speak, the cry is universal, right? And God knows the cry of a parent's heart who has a child who is desperate in need for a touch. And she comes here to this place, it says, this certain woman. She has this young daughter with an unclean spirit. She's grievously vexed. She's tormented by this demonic presence. And maybe there's condemnation in her life, the mother's life. Maybe there's this, I let my daughter go too far with Ashtaroth, with Baal, with the worship of this sexual goddess. Maybe there's this condemnation. I should have supervised her to make it relative to you and I here tonight. I should have supervised her a little bit more with her social media accounts, with her phone, with the things that she was doing, the activity that she's engaged in. Maybe I should have been a better example. Maybe I led her wrong. Maybe I led her astray. You got to imagine, as a mother, she would have been feeling those things as she's coming to Jesus. And the language is, she's continuously begging him to have mercy. She comes to him on the premises of mercy. That's the only plea she has. Mercy, please. Oh, Son of David, mercy, please. Interestingly enough, she's recognizing him, who he is to be, better than his own kinsmen are, better than the own Jewish people. They don't receive him as the Son of David, but this Gentile does. I'm just going to show you something real quick for the sake of those of you who just love studying God's word. I want to show you that it's interesting she calls him the Son of David, because back in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 5, you don't have to turn, but listen. Back in the time of David, it says that Hiram, the king of Tyre, where she's from, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. The king of the region that she's from, it tells us 1,000 years before that this guy was ever a lover of David. It makes me wonder, did that love for David spread all the way down to this woman in our story tonight, who comes to him and calls him with this title, the Son of David? Isn't that interesting? For those of you who just want to cross-reference and have some fun with your study of God's word, how it connects like that, the region that she comes from, she's like, Son of David, the king from so many centuries before from my land was a lover of David. You're the greater David. Your people might not recognize that, but I do. Ashtaroth has failed me. Baal has failed me. The things of this world can't cut it in this instance. My daughter is tormented. Her torment has become my torment. Folks, what we have here tonight is the display of an intercessor. Her needs have become my needs. You ever heard for somebody in that way before? Somebody comes up to you after midweek like this, service ends, and y'all are hanging out and talking, and they bare their heart to you, and you leave here, and you can't get it off your mind. You're plagued by it. Their burden has become your burden. That's scriptural. The Bible says that we're to rejoice with those who rejoice, and we're to mourn with those who mourn. And the Lord leads us in an intercessory where, man, their pain has become my pain. All the more when it's the parent of their child. My daughter is tormented, so her torment is my torment. And Jesus is ignoring her, Matthew told us. Jesus is ignoring her. We don't know how long. We don't know what that was like for her. But we know that he was drawing this honesty out of her as she would continue to speak. What would be a monologue as she would continue to talk to him, as she would continue to change her verbiage just a little bit and what her request would be. And Matthew, it became, Lord, help me. Remember, I showed you that. Lord, help me. Lord, help her. Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy. Do you see all those prayers? Lord, help her. Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy. The Lord was doing something with her. God does things with us. Don't misunderstand and don't misconstrue God's silence as his indifference toward you. Because I could hear your testimony after service, or you could hear mine about how you've been seeking God and crying to God, have mercy, God, help me, God, help this, God, praying every which way that you know how in the English and the Greek. And how God isn't showing up in my life or in your life. And as humans, we can lull each other into this pity party of like, oh man, I don't know why God's not answering you. I don't know why God's not responding to you. When in all reality, God's doing a work in you. His silence is never his indifference. Write it down, take it home. Man, the Lord has us in seasons sometimes where our pain is great. The question mark in front of us is huge. We're bewildered by what we got going through, what we got going on, what we're going through. We cannot put any human understanding to it. And he just wants to encourage us tonight that he is never indifferent toward us, that his eyes are always upon us. He's working it out. He's working all things together for the good for those who love God. If you love God, he's working it out. And listen, definite article, the called according to his purposes. You are a part of the called ones, the called out from the world. Jesus saved you. If you trust him enough to save your soul from hell for eternity, then trust him enough to deliver you and to see you through what you got going on in this temporal life. I mean, that's what he's asking of us. Way easier to preach, way easier to talk about than to actually, you know, walk out. But this is an example tonight to encourage you and I. And what else we have here is a beatitude. Those keep coming up lately. I don't know if you're noticing that. But a beatitude personified. Blessed is she, in this instance, who hungers. Blessed is she who thirsts. If ever there were a hungry soul, it's this Syrophoenician, Canaanite woman. If ever there were anybody who thirsts for the living God, it was this Syrophoenician, Canaanite, Greek, Gentile woman. Everything stacked up against her. The culture, women do not talk to men. The culture, Gentile women do not talk to Jewish men. The culture, a Canaanite. Those are a group of people that God said in the Old Testament, wipe them completely out. The fact that she's even in existence is God's grace. Just like you and I here tonight. Y'all with me so far? I'm sharing a lot with you right now. I'm giving you a lot. Take it with you. He crosses borders. Write it down. He's not intimidated by you, your appearance, which, you know, what your sin history is, who your dad is, what your family's done, what your last name is. He casts the devil out of heaven. You don't scare him. He's not put off by you. He's not intimidated by you. That's one of the things I love about Jesus. He's not intimidated by sinners.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let's get it right.